are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
I want to talk to you from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 to 21, and I want to talk about new beginnings in Christ. New beginnings in Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 16 and go down to 21. And it says this: "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." New beginnings in Christ. London businessman Lindsay Slagg told the story of a warehouse property that he was trying to sell. The building had been empty for months and needed a lot of repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors, broke the windows, had gone inside and strewn trash around the interior. As he was showing the property to a prospective buyer, Slagg took pains to say that he would replace the broken doors, broken windows. He would actually correct the structural damage and clean out the garbage. "Forget about the repairs," the buyer said. "When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want to build, I want the site." God doesn't want your old nature. God's interested in building a new creation within you. Amen? Amen? When we receive Jesus Christ, we become something more than just a repair site. And a lot of times we walk around like we're a repair site. We walk around like there's always something that we don't measure up to, an expectation we haven't yet met. We've always feel like sometimes we fall short of the glory of God, and there's this thing in us that we've not yet arrived. Let me just reassure you, you haven't yet arrived. That's a truth. But to always have this nagging voice in your ear that you quite don't measure up. That's what I'm talking about. And that you're not yet the person you're meant to be. When Christ said, "I did it all for you, and I have created in you the new. I've touched you. I've redeemed you. I've called you out for myself. You are totally a new model in me. And I don't just reissue something that's secondhand. When I touch a life, it's total redemption." Amen? That's Christ. And because we are really new, we stand out from the old. We stand out from those who are still walking in the old. And we stand as in the redemptive power and purpose of a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who chose to love in him would not perish, but have eternal life. We walk in the newness of this eternal life. It is fresh. It is life-giving. It is restorative. It is powerful. And it's for each one of us. Do you hear me? Not just those that you would consider are really new creations. Not those that you look on their lives and they have all the things. They're all put together and they're all in place. And you would look at them and say, they're great Christians. But, well, me? I'm not quite there. Let me tell you, that's not how Christ sees us. When he declares that the old has gone and the new has come, that's exactly what has happened. And if we don't believe that, we lessen the power of the cross and the blood that was shed on the cross. Amen? Don't cheapen the blood that was shed for your new life that he granted to you. The new life we experience in Jesus Christ is so complete that we become brand new people through him. Can I tell you, when I look in the mirror, I say, you done a good thing. I'm just telling you the truth. Because if you looked in the mirror 30-something years ago, it wasn't a good thing. Can I say that? It was all messed up. As Aretha tells me, I'm a hot mess. I was a hot mess. But today, I'm on fire for Jesus Christ. Amen. How about you? Do you live in the mentality that you're a hot mess? Or do you live with the mentality that the refiner's fire is creating a new creation? Yes, you are. I agree with that statement. We're all a work in progress. And I'm just so encouraged when I read this scripture that there's always an opportunity for a new beginning. I want to talk to you about that this morning. We experience Christ's life in us only as long as we cease to live the old self-centered life. You have to cease from living the old self-centered life. That's when the new beginnings happen. And when we look at these verses, we see that there are two areas in our lives that allow us to cease from living a life of the old self-centered person. And we see in verses 16 to 17 that regeneration allows us to live in Christ and for Christ. He wants us to live in him and for him. And when we turn to Jesus in faith and accept him as our Lord and Savior, we begin an immediate process of regeneration. And some of us wanted it yesterday. I understand that. But some of the old habits, some of the old hang-ups, some of the old hurts, some of the old behaviors, some of the old relationships, some of the old places you used to go, some of the old behaviors, some of your old way of thinking, some of your old desires, those take a long time to reprocess. They don't happen overnight. Your soul, your spirit is regenerated. You are saved. You are redeemed. You are justified before the Lord. You're no longer guilty. But those aspects of who you are, they are part of the process. I'll get it. I'm not calling you possums now, no. But some of you sleep like a possum in the spirit. How about that? That was good. I thought it was. Work with me. No, thank you. We must live by Christ's spiritual presence. And when we live in that presence, when we're aware of that presence, when that presence comes to us and it rests on us and it moves in and through us, it should begin to actually recalibrate and reignite and remove some of those things in that process and transform us. It's that presence of Christ that we find that from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. It's the presence of God and the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit, that when we're in the world or we behave as if we're still in the world, that when the presence of God comes to us and convicts us, we respond to that conviction. When he tells us that indeed, that choice is a sin, we make the choice not to sin. When he tells us that that behavior is actually not a redemptive way of behaving, we choose to behave differently because we know we're in Christ and we're living for Christ. Christ died for us in order that we should stop living for ourselves and begin to live for him. God's purpose in the cross was to change us and change the focus of our lives. And the cross does that so powerfully. It reminds us of what we were and where we were and where we were going and how destructive we were living our lives. And when we look to the cross, there's this sense, a celebration, that now we're not in the presence of the world or in the presence of demonic forces or a philosophy and worldview that's destructive and against Christian values. But we stand up as Christians and we say, no, I am in Christ. I am in Christ, and I'm going to live my life as one who is in the presence of Jesus Christ. And because I choose to live in the presence, I'm aware of what's taking place on a daily basis and the journey that I'm on. And I'm willing to actually say, okay, here, this is what I've done today. This is where I've been today. This is who I've hung out today. This is what I've been thinking. And then I'm willing, in the presence of God, understanding that there's grace, understanding that there's mercy, understanding he's faithful, understanding he's loving and he's kind, and understanding he's the only one who can actually forgive me for those, perhaps those things, whatever those things might be. James Colvert was a zealous missionary to the cannibals in the Fiji Islands. His faithful work bore fruit in the lives of those accustomed to taking life, the life of others. Years later, an English earl visited the Fiji Islands and was critical of the chief's conversion to Christianity. He said, "You're a great leader," this English earl said, "but it's a pity you've been taken in by those foreign missionaries. No one believes the Bible anymore," he said. "People are tired of the threadbare story of Christ dying on the cross for sins, the sins of mankind. They know better now. We're in modern society. I'm sorry you've been so foolish as to accept their story." The old chief responded with a gleam in his eye. He said, "See that great rock over there? On that we used to smash the heads of our victims. Notice over there the furnace next to it. In that oven we formerly roasted the bodies of our enemies. If it hadn't been for those good missionaries and the love of Jesus Christ that changed us from cannibals to Christians, you'd never leave this place. You better thank the Lord for the gospel, otherwise we'd already be feasting on you. If it weren't for the Bible and it weren't for salvation in Jesus Christ, you would now be my supper," he said. Listen to me, folks. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to believe. We are now his supper. When you're in Christ, you are convinced that the word of God is true. When you're in Christ, you are convinced that the promises are yes and amen. When you're in Christ, you don't doubt the power of the blood of Jesus because of what it's done in you already. When you're in Christ, you believe that there's a power called the resurrection power that dwells inside of you. And you can speak to the enemy and the forces of the enemy and declare in Jesus Christ that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Right. Preach it. Now, I'm not just saying that to have a hallelujah time. I'm saying it because it's the reality of the gospel, folks. Are you hearing me? We live in Christ, and because we're in Christ, we can tap into that every single day. It's called the regeneration power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody hand out some Starbucks this morning. Yeah, are you with me? Okay, good. Just wanted to know. You see, like this chief, Paul was confident that Jesus, who now lives in each believer, would bring about, he brings about, we don't bring about. He brings about regeneration. It's him who touches our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, and bodies. Paul had hope and confidence, not because of what he saw in the Corinthians, when he actually said in verse 17, therefore, he's saying, I am confident in what I'm seeing. I am confident in what I'm noticing that's taking place in your life. I'm seeing the actual process before my very eyes. I'm touching it. I'm believing in it. I'm hopeful for you. I see you are a changed people. And I'm telling you this morning, that's what God is saying to Joy Community Church. I have seen that you are a changed people. You are new creations in my Son, Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Get a little excited for Jesus. Paul had hope and confidence in these traits that a new creation in Christ would have. We see that our hearts are new. That's a trait. Our hearts are new. We see that in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 3 to 8. It says, love suffers long. It does not envy. It is not puffed up. It is kind. It does not parade itself. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things and endures all things. We are in the endurance season of being in Christ right now. But it is love. It's the love of Christ that will transform us and keep us moving through this season that we're in called endurance. I'm saying to you this morning that you are in Christ. You are a new creation. And it is saying to us that our hearts need continual transformation and regeneration. Amen? Another trait that he was seeing being transformed by the regeneration of the power of the blood of Christ was our spirits are new. We see that in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we live in the Spirit, we what? We walk in the Spirit. We are in Christ. We decide today, I am choosing. I'm not walking in the world. I'm not walking in darkness. I'm not walking by worldview philosophy. I am walking in Christ. And I am walking in what? The Spirit of Christ. Another trait that he saw that was being transformed and regenerated was our minds are new. We see that in Philippians 4:8, where Paul says, meditate on whatever things are. What does he say? Whatever things are. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are true, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of any virtue, praiseworthy. He's saying, wait a second, meditate on those in Christ, and you will experience a regeneration in your mind. If the enemy is deceiving you, lying to you, whispering to you, speaking down on you, you get in the Word and you meditate on the Word and allow your mind to be transformed. Meditating on those things. When we hear, receive, learn, and do these things, what happens? Paul says, the God of peace will be with you. That's what I want to give my time to. And in seasons like this where we're enduring and we're fighting the good fight of faith, I am telling you, you need to be in the Word. You need to be meditating on the truth. We spend so much time listening to everybody else's advice, we forget where to get our advice sometimes. I'm just saying what I think.
I do the same things at times.
Paul's saying there's another trait. I've not only seen your heart and your spirit and your mind be made new through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and the power of Christ and his blood, but I've seen your souls are new. And he says in Galatians 3, verses 12 to 16, he says, put on these things. He's actually giving clear direction. He's not saying if you want to. You see, because we live in a society of free choice, we think that as Christians, we get to do what we want to do, when we want to do, and how we want to do, and if we want to do, and if we want to, and how we want to, blah, 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 blah. And Paul is saying, wait, wait, wait. You want to live a regenerated life? You want to live a new, be a new creation? You want to be in Christ? Excuse me? You need to do some things. You got to cooperate here. There has to be a spirit of cooperation. There has to be a willing heart. There has to be a tenaciousness in spirit. There has to be an agreement in faith that the process he's bringing me through is worthwhile going through, and I'm going to go through it anyway. And he says, you've got to put on these things. What does he say in Colossians chapter 3? Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Above all, put on love. Let the peace of God truly rule in your hearts. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another. That's what I'm doing this morning, right? Sing with grace in your hearts. Whatever you do in word and deed, we are called to do it, what? In the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what Colossians chapter 3 says. You're not just doing it because Joy Community Church says that that's what we do in our doctrine. You're not doing it because Pastor James preached in another sermon that bored the heck out of you. No, you're doing it because Paul is exhorting us from the inspired word of God, and he said, yo, everyone, put this on. Let me exhort you this morning, put on Jesus Christ. Put him on. And guard your heart. Guard your spirit. Guard your mind. Guard your soul. Guard your body. As you live in Christ and become this new creation. It's kind of like this. Let me show you something. When Christ is putting himself on us, it's not like this. This is so too big for me. See that? I used to wear this because I liked it. But you shouldn't wear something that's uncomfortable and too big, right? And I would button it up thinking that I could make it, you know, it would fit me. And it never quite fit me. And people would see my little hands like this. And many of us we put on our own things. And we get frustrated because we've put on something that Christ has not put on us. And those are called expectations. That is called perfectionism. Striving in the spirit, because we look all around us at those that we would consider more godly, more spiritual, and they are the people, and we want to put them on us. And we allow them to put on us. And Christ is saying, that is not who I am. That's not my purpose in your regeneration. That's yours and somebody else's. When I put something on you and it's Christ, it fits. It feels good. See? Woo! Woo! Yeah, it fits. And it's comfortable. And it's not something that's awkward. It wears well. You can do it every day. It's comfortable. And some of us are not comfortable in Jesus Christ. We're not comfortable in our own skin. And he's saying, I'm calling you today to put on these things, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, putting on love, letting the peace of God rule in your hearts, being thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When you do that and put those things on, you're asking, well, what can I do today? Look no further. All those four things of regeneration are things that you can cooperate with and allow God to put Jesus Christ on you so you can live in him. Amen? Okay. Amen? I like that. That helped me. We must learn to look at each other through the eyes of faith. We must affirm others that in Christ we are new creations. We need to give an account of how we behave, how we live, how we think, what we do, where we go, why we do what we do. We are accountable to one another, and we are accountable to the Lord. And just because you leave here on Sunday does not mean you're not accountable to somebody. And just because you are older than me doesn't mean I don't get to speak into your life and you don't get to speak in mine. Are you with me? Am I speaking to the right choir this morning? Yes. Good. Because when we're in Christ, we are called to a greater accountability to that process of regeneration. Amen? We look at verses 18 to 20, and we see that there's a privilege of reconciliation that connects us back to the Father. And the Bible makes it clear that every human being has a relationship with God, one of either fellowship or rebellion. Because of the fall, the world has, as a whole, is in constant rebellion and needs to be reconciled to God so that the fellowship can be enjoyed and lives experience regeneration. That's how important reconciliation is. And reconcile in the Greek actually means to change, to exchange, to reestablish, to restore relationships, and to make things right and to remove hostility. And in the New Testament, the word is mentioned 5 times, and it actually means to be restored in right relationship to God Almighty. Anytime that that word is mentioned, in those 5 places. One of the new areas of transformation is the reconciliation of dysfunctional or fractured relationships. And what happens is the Holy Spirit, once you're going through that regeneration process, he wants to make sure that you are beginning to restore your relationship with your Heavenly Father so that when the broken or dysfunctional relationships come in and out of your life, it's not distorting any longer the relationship with your Heavenly Father, but it's strengthening the relationships that are dysfunctional. There is a process in that regeneration as well. So you have to be reconciled to your Heavenly Father so that you can be reconciled in those areas in your life and in those relationships in your life that are fragmented and dysfunctional. In the case of broken relationships with God, he's already met us more than halfway by offering us reconciliation through Jesus Christ. He loves to forgive his people. He longs to forgive people. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. He loves when we ask for forgiveness. If the gift of forgiveness is offered by anyone else, we can humbly accept it. And in this way, we begin rebuilding those relationships. And Paul said that Jesus' ministry of reconciliation was accomplished by not counting our sins. He does not count. It says here, actually, in verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And because of our striving, and because of our dysfunctions and fractured places in our hearts, And our mindset's not yet gone through that whole process of accepting who we are, what Christ designed us to be, and who we can be within even dysfunctional relationships. We behave not as if we're in Christ, we still behave like we're broken outside of Christ. And I want to encourage you this morning, you are in Christ, and therefore, when you are in Christ, that power of reconciliation, that power to forgive, that power to walk in that forgiveness actually beckons people back into your heart and into your life. God does it. You don't do it. He does it. I've seen it so many times. And God doesn't count our sins. He doesn't say to you, well, sorry, Joe, you failed 32 times, and there you go again. I'm not talking about Joe Wagner, by the way. Don't look at Joe Wagner right now. Now he's embarrassed. Joe, God's not saying that to you, okay? Okay. He doesn't say, oh, now it's well, you failed 33 times now. It's a new day. No, he says, I don't hold your sins against you. The sins that you caused and lived in before your salvation, they're gone. Wipe clean. The sins that happened after your salvation, come to me. And today, if you confess your sins, I'm the one who is faithful, I'm the one who is just, and I'm the one who can forgive you for all your unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but that scripture is life, my lifeline. It gives me hope every single day. And I know you're not a sinner every day, but I know I have attitudes and thoughts and desires that are not God, but are not pleasing at times to God. But I know that when I go to Him every day, those are gone, clean, and forgiven. He's inviting that for us today. We who are the recipients of divine reconciliation have the privilege and obligation now to be His ambassadors, to be the instruments of healing in God's hands for other people. It was amazing. Last week, we were having Friendship Day, remember? And we were supposed to be inviting people to, you know, to Friendship Day. I had the privilege to invite two people, and they didn't show up. But then what happened is God was doing something behind the scenes, and my sister texted me last week, and she said, hey, one of our childhood friends was asking of you and asked me to give you their number, and I was wondering if you'd give that person a call. And I had a little hesitation because this individual person had hurt a lot of people and had actually hurt my family. And so I was a little apprehensive about connecting because I didn't know where that would lead. And this individual was highly respected by all of us growing up and made some devastating choices in their lives and consistently live in deep pain and regret. And so I contacted my sister and I said, hey, can you tell me about so-and-so? Where are they at? And why is he actually reaching out to me? And she shared why he was reaching out to me. He just was in a bad funk in his life, and he was in a bad place, and he needed somebody who would believe in him. So I prayed about it, and then I remember what I preached last Sunday. Remember when I talked about rejuvenating friendships? And so I thought, well, if I preach it, I better live it. And so I called him. And it was painful. And yet, it was awesome. Because in Christ, I'm a new creation. And the old has gone and the new has come. And this guy did not know what the new was, let me tell you, because we were old together. You hear what I'm saying? And he was still in that place, but he was seeking. And he began just to share his life story and what had happened in his life and just the devastation he caused himself and others. And I was able to share with him the forgiveness of Christ what that looked like, how that could happen. He wasn't quite ready for that yet. And we left on good terms, thinking that when I went home to Canada, we would meet up and spend some time together. I want my friend to experience this regeneration. I want my friend to have been reconciled with Christ Almighty. I want him to be delivered from shame and guilt and condemnation. He's not free. He lives in bondage every single day. My heart ached for him. But I know through Christ and in Christ, what we sang it, all things are possible. We experience Christ's life in us only as long as we cease to live the old self-centered life. My friend still wants to live that old self-centered life. And he actually wants me to live back there with him, but I'm not going. You hear what I'm saying? You have to make a decision. And for some of us, it's a decision minute by minute when you're first saved. And for some, it's day by day. And some are desperately crying out, "You promised me that I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new person. You promised me that old things have passed away and all things have become new. Why am I still in this place?" Think about those four areas that I talked to you about this morning and the scriptures that support those. Think about being new in your heart. Think about being new in your mind. Thinking about being new in your spirit and in your soul. Think about those four areas that the Corinthians were actually regenerated in, and believe that God has that for you today. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this rich time in the Word this morning. And we thank you that you are beginning a new work in people today, online and in this place. And people need to make a choice today to begin a new life in Christ. Father, I hear this question that you want me to ask each person here today. Are you willing to let the past be the past through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? And Lord, I pray for those online, I pray for those here in service that need to confess and need to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to receive the forgiveness of all their sins by confessing that they are a sinner, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, and that they, like everyone else, realize that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No way unto the Father but through Jesus. And you've got to be in him. You've got to stay in him. You've got to live in him and for him. And you've got to give up that old self. And Lord, I pray for those online today, and I pray for those in this house today that need to take that step across the line and say, "Jesus, I am yours. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come and take control of my life. Jesus, I realize I'm a sinful person, and I don't want to live as that old, unredeemed person. I want to be a new creation in you." And Lord, we pray that today, through the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of their sins, that they will walk in the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate those making that decision today. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live in the past. We don't have to live in condemnation. We don't have to live in blame and shame and guilt. We don't have to live with this heavy burden that the enemy wants us to keep walking under, because in Christ there is freedom, and it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. No longer to be yoked by any yoke of slavery or bondage. God, right now as I'm praying, whether they're at home, whether they're in this place, let freedom reign. Let freedom come. Let hearts, minds, souls, and spirits be lifted up and regenerated right in this place, at this moment, in Jesus' name. Come, Lord God Almighty. Boy, do we need you today. We need new beginnings in Christ today, because the new is here. The new has come, and his name is Jesus Christ, Lord Almighty. We celebrate you as our Savior today, Lord. We celebrate Jesus and all that we have been given and granted. Oh, bless your holy name. Let's bless the Lord. Come on, let's just bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He is awesome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is good. I'm a new creation. Say it with me. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. We're going to have a time of ministry at the altar. If you need more blessings and prayer, please come forward. The prayer ministry team will be here. Have a wonderful week and experience your new beginning in Christ today. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.